Welcome to Things I Wish I Knew, the podcast from Thinking Faith, a work of the Jesuits in Britain. I'm Julia, I'm in my early 30s, and I used to live in a Jesuit young adult community. We all live hectic lives and often don't get time to reflect on what's happening both to us and around us. This podcast is meant to help you take a moment to stop and think about where you are, where you're going, and where your relationship with God fits into it all. Every week, I'll meet a new guest who tells me about something they experienced which changed their life forever. By talking about the things they wish they'd known at the time, we'll explore the idea that God is in all things, and we'll talk about the part that faith plays in navigating life challenges. Today, I'm speaking to Emma, director of Pray As You Go. She shares about her experience of walking the Camino and how she walked her first Camino at 23. I love talking to her because she shares about the experience of community whilst doing the Camino and how God met her on the journey. So Emma, why did you decide to do the Camino?
Yeah, I'd finished my undergraduate degree, so I did theology, and I was just kind of in a stage of life. I'd had quite a big life transition moment. I'd been engaged and called it off and that kind of thing. So I was kind of looking for something to kind of, I don't know, help me process and that sort of thing. And yeah, I heard about it through a German friend who was going to walk. She ended up not doing it, and then she was devastated that we couldn't walk it together. I watched the film The Way, which is a bit of a cliche, but yeah, I felt inspired to do it. And then I ended up just kind of deciding the day before, and then I just went for a month, which was unexpected.
Were you like preparing for it? Were you practicing walking, or did you just
absolutely
rock up
not? No, I mean, I was 23, so it was kind of a lot easier. And I remember I lived in Bath at the time, and there are obviously a lot of hills in Bath. So I remember the day before thinking, okay, if I can walk up this hill like easily, I'll go and I'll be fine. And I did it, and I was like, okay, surely you need more than that. But I didn't prepare that much. No.
I'm also imagining, did you get many blisters?
I got, at one point, I had 17 blisters on both feet, which was shocking.
And did you prepare in any way spiritually?
I want to say yes, but I did not. I didn't. I think at the time I was kind of floating a bit. So I wasn't fully connected into church. I wasn't necessarily... I had a lot of questions at the time, I think. I wasn't fully kind of in my faith, I'd say. I think God was there, but I don't think I was fully present with it. So in the run-up, no, not really. Hilariously, looking back on it, someone had given me a book on St. Ignatius, and I knew nothing about St. Ignatius. I didn't come from a Catholic background, but they felt I'd had like a cannonball moment in my life with ending an engagement, that kind of thing. And so I'd been given lots of things, but I hadn't actively kind of stepped into anything in terms of spirituality. I think doing the Camino was probably a subconscious search for that as well, a kind of reconnection.
What does doing the Camino mean?
Good question. I think before I went, I would have had no idea either. I mean, in some ways, just journeying along. And I think, oh gosh, this is going to be a whole lot of walking cliches, quite literally. We should have like a little buzzer whenever there's a cliche, but it is different for everyone. I think it, like, everybody's journey is different just based on where they're coming from in terms of geography, but also spiritually where they're coming from. So I think for me on that particular Camino, I think doing the Camino was really being extracted into a completely different place, a different time, it was completely different from... I'd done a lot of travelling, but it was different from anything that I'd done before. I was going by myself, and I think overall it kind of means just surrendering into it. Doing the Camino is just kind of... you just give yourself into the journey of whatever that's going to look like, really.
And are you glad that you went on your own, or do you wish you'd taken other people?
I'm so glad I went on my own. But I think there's an aspect to it that you join the community of what's happening when you're there. So what was nice after I'd walked the Camino, I knew that I was going to do a master's degree at the London School of Economics, and it was in social anthropology. So I kind of used that as an excuse to kind of process the pilgrimage. And so I did my dissertation on the Camino. And as part of that, I read a lot of Victor Turner and Edith Turner, who were Catholics as well, which is interesting. But they've written a lot on ritual and pilgrimage. And one of the things Victor Turner talks about is liminality, which got thrown around all the time during COVID, which was annoying at first. But I do think we were in a liminal space then. But part of that was something called communitas, where it's kind of like a heightened solidarity that you have with people. And I don't think I would have had that if I would have gone with other people. I think I really gave myself into the community that's in that kind of vague space of what is this place of, you know, unknown, kind of the in-between. I think he calls it something like betwixt and between. It's like a really beautiful phrase, but you really have to rely on the people there, and that sense of community is like, it's really strong. So, yeah.
And if you've not done the Camino before, can you tell us a bit about what the actual day looks like, or how the process of the journey?
Yeah. So each day you get up quite early, especially if you're doing it in warmer months, because you want to beat the sun. So I'm normally up at, you know, by six and walking, and then you do about 6 hours of walking, maybe seven, depending on pace. And you're basically just following arrows. It's wonderful. You have all the decisions of life taken away from you. All you have to do is follow the yellow arrows of the trail. And you'll stop in little villages or towns along the way. There are some beautiful churches as well that you can stop and pray at. And lots of kind of bars and pubs. People have said it's like the longest pub crawl, technically. But there's a lot of time for kind of social interaction and spiritual interaction. You spend kind of evenings having dinner, perhaps with the people that you've met or the people that you've come with. But yeah, essentially after your day of walking is done, you do the shower, you wash your clothes, you tend to your blisters. There's a whole like blister festival going on in the albergues, which are like the inns that you stay at. People tending to their wounds on the walk. And yeah, you go to bed pretty early because you're pretty tired. So,
and you're going to get up early.
You're going to get up early. So yeah, that's exactly it.
So, you kind of talked about the blisters.
Yes.
What are the challenges of doing the Camino?
Yeah, you know what? It is physically tiring. I really noticed the difference when I went back 2 years ago to do a week, the first week in the Pyrenees. And I found it really hard. And I, you know, in my head, I was like, this was easier before. And I was like, oh, I was 23. So you do notice the difference. So it is quite physically tiring, depending on like which bit you're doing. I stupidly packed heavier the second time. So there's that. I think quite a lot comes out emotionally as well. I found there's a week in the desert, which is the Meseta, and there's not a lot in terms of landscape. It's kind of just flat, dry. You've got not a lot going on. And for me, that's where a lot of like the emotional stuff kind of came up. And I think that's where a lot of God kind of met me there. So that was quite demanding as well. But you get to certain points. It's normally when I get to Pamplona, which is really significant as well, when I've done it the times that I have, that I feel emotionally like giving up already. It's only been like 3 or 4 days, but I'm like, why am I here? You have to really kind of move past that. And it's tiring. But I think that is what pilgrimage is. So,
yeah, I feel like with lots of experiences, but especially pilgrimages, you have that like first day excitement. Then it starts to get real and you've still got quite a while to go. And so then you're like, do I just give up now? Yeah. And then you push through that and then you can see the end. And
yeah,
that's where the joy comes in it, I suppose.
Absolutely. And I think it's harder when you're only doing a week, I think, because you can push past, but then you're done. Yeah. Whereas if you've got the whole stretch ahead of you, you're like, oh, it would be worth it. And you have the time to push past it and it becomes easier. And see, I've always found doing a week at a time much harder.
And I guess your ending isn't an actual finished part of it as well. Like, you're not in Santiago to like celebrate.
There's no fun. No. You just go home. That is true. Although I remember someone saying to me that like the pilgrimage is like coming home as well. So the end place is always actually where you're returning to. That stays with me a lot. And I think that has echoes with like, I've also done the Ignatian spiritual exercises where you're away for, you know, 4 or 5 weeks in silence. And I always mirror the two. They're very similar to me. They're both pilgrimages in their own way. But people talk about the fifth week of the exercises, like the coming home part and that kind of thing. And yeah, that being really important.
So what makes the Camino different from a walking holiday?
Yeah, I mean, particularly the Camino de Santiago is its own kind of special thing. I mean, pilgrimage is very different from a walking holiday. You're walking towards something. In the case of the Camino de Santiago, the belief is that St. James is buried at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. But obviously lots of people walk. They don't have a faith. There's a legend that it's been sort of a pilgrimage or a Camino long before St. James, but you know, for the purposes of now, lots of people walk towards, and then they arrive at the cathedral, and it's a beautiful moment. Wherever they've come from, it's been a long journey, and there's a statue of St. James there, and you can touch his feet. I knew one person who they'd done like the whole 5 or 6 weeks of walking, arrived, and big moving moment, they were walking towards the statue to have that real amazing moment, and then this group of tourists just came off a bus and completely went in front of her, and she had to wait for like a long time to reach the statue.
My favourite thing about Santiago Cathedral is the swinging thurible.
It is amazing. And even for people that don't have a faith of any kind, when they have a swinging, what did you call it?
Thurible.
Thurible, yes.
It's where they have the incense,
with the incense
inside of it.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you don't know what a thurible is, they like swing them during mass. And normally it's just in your hands. And an altar server will do it. But with this one, it like takes like six men or something, pulling it like a bit like a bell ringer.
It's amazing.
And they pull it up and down, and it swings literally like the full
length
width
of the cathedral.
Well,
oh, is it the width? Yeah, yeah, the width of the cathedral. But it's absolutely amazing. And even, you know, yeah, people without faith will just come to watch that, because it's such a moving moment. It is a moving moment. I think, I could be wrong, but I think the actual reason for the incense was because the pilgrims used to smell so bad.
Yeah, that's the
that they
back.
Would swing the incense. But now it's a beautiful part of the mass. And yeah, that it's such a draw for people to have that moment in the cathedral of arrival. And it's a very special place. It's people are arriving every day, so there's a celebration every day, which where else do you get that in the world? People arriving and having a party every night. It's wonderful.
So is the Camino a bit like a mountaintop moment, in that you're walking it, you're getting closer to God, you're having this like real experience of him, and then you're having to come back and coming back down the mountain?
Yes and no. Yeah, I think especially for that first one, it is. There's nothing like arriving in Santiago, although I was really adamant. I was like, I'm going to arrive by myself. It's a really important moment. But then you don't have anyone to celebrate with. So, yeah, I felt a bit alone at that point. But yeah, in some ways you really meet with God. And I suppose you get that kind of glow of the post Camino glow that stays around for a while. And then, sure, you can't live in that space forever. But I think there's an element with the Camino that it does stay with you. Again, cliche buzzer. I can close my eyes sometimes and still feel like I'm there. I can go like very present back to that place. I think it's probably something to do with when you're physically walking, like you're embodying something, and it's kind of embodied prayer, pilgrimage. It's just, you know, walking. Your body remembers so much.
So how did you find God in the Camino?
I mean, one was like, it's obvious, again, cliche. Nature was just a huge one. I'd grown up in like a Christian community in North Devon called Lee Abbey. So that was my first experience of kind of life, was meeting God in nature and the hills and the seas and like creatures. And, you know, there was one guy who I'd met, it was his fourth Camino, and he said, oh, like, there's always a little bird that just like hops along the path in front of me for like miles. And he's like, that's God. In my head, I was like a bit cynical about that at first, but then I had a little butterfly that did a similar thing. And I was like, okay, yeah, maybe God is here. So in really small ways, and just on the road in general, I mentioned the desert before. I think there's a lot of God there. I think whenever I've done like an examine on the experience, I think one of the places that I found God the most was through the other people. That, again, sense of community really drew me out of myself. And I think that was God quite present in other people doing that. I think I didn't have a huge like sense of self before I walked the first Camino. And the difference was like huge. I don't think I would have stepped into the job that I'm in now. I don't think I would have fully known God in a deeper way. And it's similar when I have done other things like the spiritual exercises. Even though you're in silence, it's the people that you're with as well that really always speak to me. And I'm an introvert, so that always really surprises me that people, you know, God is in people so much. And that's always where I found God. And whether that's people, I think a lot of people on the Camino obviously are Christians or Catholics, and just the depth of the conversations that you have as well about God. Everyone wants to talk about God on the Camino, whether they've come for God or not. And I do think God's just present there in those moments, and it's really beautiful.
Does that sense of community continue once you finish the Camino?
Yeah, I've stayed in touch with a lot of people that I've walked with. I've gone to visit them in their countries and stayed with them, that kind of thing. There is a solidarity. I think there's a sense of experience that sort of only we have in that time and place. And even I went back maybe 6 or 7 years ago as well to do a week with my dad. And he'd just gone through cancer treatment, and it was just a real space for us to kind of bond again and that kind of thing. And it really was. And I think between my dad and I, we got a different relationship from it, and that's lasted and stayed. And I'm sure we would have had something similar without it, but I think it was there was something really special about the walking together and the memory of that and being together in that space that stays with us a lot.
And I suppose it's something that you can always go back to. You were saying earlier about if you close your eyes, you can feel it. But I suppose it's something you've got in common, you can chat about together as well. Because I often find like on those, what I count as mountaintop moments, it's quite hard when you come back because you've had this like experience that might or might not have been life-changing. But then you're trying to explain it to other people who've not had it. And that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, and you end up really annoying them, because when I came back from my first Camino, it's all I could talk about. And you know, when I started my master's degree, it was all I would talk about, and it became a joke. But also, it's really hard to convey it. And I think it's because it's so unique and precious to you, and other people will have different experiences in those places. You know, I talked to a lot of people who go to Teze, and they have the same experience for them. So I think we catch glimpses of each other's kind of stories in those, and that's really beautiful, I think.
I think that's really nice that in that people might have that experience of God at Teze, and then you've had that experience of God on the Camino. Mm-hmm. But like God speaks to us in a way that nourishes our soul, maybe, is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. It's like different to different people because we're all different.
Yeah, but it's still God, and it's still the same consolation, I think. It's just, you know, Gerard Manley Hopkins talks about Christ playing in 10,000 spaces. I've probably butchered that quote, but I think, yeah, it is the consolation of Christ and just playing out in different ways in different people's lives for those particular moments. And that's very special.
So I've not done the Camino before, and you were talking about that sense of community. And that is something that I understand from going on silent retreat. I always find it interesting that I don't know the names of people. I don't know anything about them, but as I'm on retreat with them, I am praying for them. And obviously on the Camino you can talk to people, and then at the end you kind of, I mean, at Binos you get to have breakfast with them, and then you get to find out a bit about them. Have you had that experience with anyone?
I have had that experience. I have that a lot, especially when I was doing the 30 days. You get sort of influx of different people each week, and that can be disruptive sometimes. But there was one week where actually it was Harry Cooper, who you've had on your podcast before, and we'd never met before. When I'm in silence, I will name people just because it helps me pray for them. I named him Jack, didn't know his name, but I found he would often steal my jigsaw puzzle time, because that's really all you can do on a retreat for fun. So that was a little bit frustrating. And then there was a moment where we were so hungry. They only gave us like one slice of pizza. And, you know, obviously we were the only kind of young people there. And we just kept sort of looking at each other at dinner, like, can we take another slice? Can we do that? And we ended up just giggling a lot. And then he left. I continued my retreat. And then we had an event at Farm Street Church maybe 3 months later. And we just ran at each other and hugged. And we were like, oh, it's so good to see you. And we were like, what is your name? We just didn't know. So we were meeting each other for the first time, but not really. So there's that weird bond of silence that kind of brings you together in humour and in a depth of God and, you know, friendship without even knowing someone's name. And I think it is a little bit like that on the Camino as well. Because I remember the first time I walked the Camino, I noticed no one really asked each other what they did for their jobs, which was really fascinating to me. We just didn't do that. And you had this whole picture of a person without what they did. But yet you feel so close to them. And there's such a depth, and the depth of conversation and experience that you're sharing is just huge.
Yeah, it's interesting because as a society, we introduce people by going, this is Emma, she's director of exactly. Pray As You Go, which almost puts your value on what you do, but not on you as a human being, which I guess is what you did have when you were doing the Camino together and not talking about jobs.
Yeah, and I think it was a fluke because since I've been back, obviously, the weeks I've been, we've all talked about what we've done. So for some reason, for that first Camino, it was such an odd experience. I don't remember anything that anybody did in their lives just because they were that person at that time in this place, and that's who they were.
If you could go and give your 23-year-old self a piece of advice, what bit of advice would you have given her?
I think, especially when she was deciding whether to do it, just get on with it. And I think because I was very hesitant before, I think that it would be okay. I think there's the advice of just surrender to it in some ways, and just it's okay to kind of lean into the community that's there.
Can you remember what made you hesitant?
I think there was a lot of fear because it's such an unknown. I'm going back to Towards Camino in 2 days time with my husband, and it's interesting watching him go through it, asking all the questions, because he has no idea. It's just such an unknown, and you can watch all the films and read all the blogs and watch all the vlogs and that kind of thing, but until you're there, and even when I went, looking back on it, I was like, it looked nothing like how my research went. Like, you have to really be there. So I think it was, the hesitation was a lot of fear, a lot of the unknown. That's part of it, I think. It's the stepping out into something completely new that makes it such an amazing thing. And I think sometimes when we step into those spaces with God as well, God really meets us there. I don't know if it's because we have a huge need in that moment because we're so afraid, but I think, yeah, that was the hesitation. And so I think I'd probably encourage my 23-year-old self. I don't know if I'd tell her not to be afraid because it's part of it, but maybe that it will be okay. You can surrender into it and there's something amazing on the other side of it.
I think that's great advice, whether you're 23 or 53 or whatever age. Yeah. So you mentioned how in 2 days' time you're going back with your husband. So what takes you back? Like, what makes you want to go back?
Oh, it's a good question. Because in some ways, it's a bit like Narnia. Like when the kids try and get back in the wardrobe to go back and they can't. And I think every time I've been back, it's never been the same as the first Camino I went on. The draw of it is that there's always a hope that when you extract yourself from your normal life and you enter into that liminal space, that you'll meet God and it will be amazing again. And I think each one has had its own graces for that time, but perhaps it will never look as like that mountaintop experience of the first one. But I think there's something in the act of going back that is really important for me now in the sense of a spiritual life. It's kind of a physical kind of testimony or an embodiment of I'm doing this, I'm walking in the hopes of meeting with God. I'm enacting walking towards God as well. So there are elements of that. But yeah, each one has different graces and different gifts and different people that you meet.
I suppose in it, each one has a different Emma walking.
Exactly.
Like you're not, as you've said before, you're not the 23-year-old Emma that you were. So it's a different person walking it, even if like physically it's still the same person, it's still emotionally, spiritually a very different person walking it. So it's a different way that God will meet you in that time.
Absolutely, yeah. I hadn't thought about that. But it is, yeah, it is a totally different Emma walking each time. And I suppose in some ways I need it less than I did from that first one. So it's, yeah, that makes it a different experience. And yeah, it's for a different purpose. But I mean, for some people, it's a real addiction. Like, I remember on my first ever morning of walking the Camino, someone said there was a Japanese girl who had just finished the whole thing and she'd gone immediately back to the beginning to start again that day. And, you know, some people do. They just want to live their life walking around in circles and doing it again and again. And I'd met people who had walked, it was their 10th Camino. Someone was walking from Jerusalem that he'd been walking for years. You know, there's just different, I think for everybody, they respond to it differently. And there is that urge to immediately walk it again. And you feel it. But again, like we were saying, the going home is really important.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that idea of walking it again immediately. And in my head, that, I guess you're quite excited anyway to be like finished. But I think it comes back to that kind of thing that I often find in spiritual direction, that I end up in the feeling like I'm in the same place with God. Like I keep going. And then I had my mind blown when my spiritual director was like, you might feel like you're going in a circle, but really you're going like in a spiral. So you're going deeper every time. And I guess like when you do the Camino, you're going into it and you're not going right to this physically, you're going right to the start, I'll be clear. But like maybe spiritually, you're not going right where you were when you were 23 to do it the first time. You're going to it in a deeper level.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. Yeah. And I think that's so true. And it's like what you're saying about the different versions of walking. But actually, there's probably depth and newness each time it happens. I mean, from the outside, I probably look really stupid just going back again. But lots of people do it. But yeah, I think that depth is there each time. It's just allowing space. It's kind of like going on retreat. It's allowing God the space to move and work. And I think now I go into them more intentionally with God, whereas I didn't with the first one. But, you know, that's how I go now.
So how has your perspective of God changed having done multiple Caminos?
I think looking back on my perspective of God from the first Camino I did, I think I come from such an evangelical Anglican background that I had quite a boxed in view of God. And it's funny, I hadn't had a huge amount, even though I went to a Jesuit university, I hadn't had a huge amount of contact with Ignatian spirituality. But I think I kind of found it in a way on my first one, of that box being kind of opened up in a big way, and that God can be present in so many different ways and so many different things. So each Camino that I go to now, I'm noticing more. So I look out more. I've got the kind of antenna up just to notice where God is a bit more. And so I think my perspective's changed, that I find God to be present in so many different ways, and not just in the churches that you visit along the way and that kind of thing, and just kind of in daily life. And there's, again, cliche, but there's something about the Camino being a reflection of our whole life in terms of walking towards God. So it sort of doesn't matter where we are in our daily life, we are all walking towards God. And I think that's really changed my perspective as well, that it is the journey of making our way just a little bit at a time with other people, wherever we are. And yeah, so it's framed my whole kind of universe of how I look at God and each other.
So what things do you wish you knew?
So from a practical sense, I was carrying my bag. I wish that I had packed lighter. I mean, that's just simple. And it's just good sense. I ended up shedding a lot of the things that I'd brought with me on the way. You can buy things on the way as well, it's fine. And you have help. I wish I'd known that there'd be lots of people around to help when I was struggling and that kind of thing. In some ways, I wish I'd known how intense it would be, and how, in some ways, it was life-changing, because I sort of did become a different person. I remember walking out of the airport doors and my dad thought I was going to keep walking forever, because I just looked more confident and stronger and taller and was walking differently. But then in some ways I wish I hadn't known, because that is part of it. It's the unknown, I think, in itself is where we meet God and where the change comes from.
And do you wish you'd known about the sense of community?
Yeah, I really wish I'd known about the sense community, because I think I would have been much less hesitant. I wish I'd known that I would have, you know, made some friendships for life and just had that sense of togetherness with people. I wish I'd known also that's where I'd find God, because up until then, I don't think I had in that way. That sense of joy and consolation that comes through people, I think, really shaped me and changed me.
What are you most grateful for?
Oh, there's too many things. I think overall, I'm most grateful that so much of the journey continues, like what we talked about, that it stayed with me, that there's so much from it that I can live from and live out of in daily life, in even decisions about pray as you go, or how we lead the team with prayer as you go, or those kinds of things. I think I'm just so grateful that I had that time. In some ways, I don't think I'd be in the job that I'm in now as well. I think stepping into it was a fruit of the Camino. And yeah, there's just so much I'm grateful for.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Things I Wish I Knew. I know this episode is going to stay with me because Emma inspired me to do the Camino, and she reminded me about how we're always walking with God. How about you? We'd love to hear about how Emma's story resonated with you, and why not also tell us if you're facing an experience you wish you knew and how you would want to look at it differently. It might just be something we can help with. You can find out more about this theme and others at thinkingfaith.org. Thank you again for listening, and I hope you'll join me again next time on Things I Wish I Knew.